Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is a very distinguished guest, Kathy Wild, president and CEO of the Nonprofit Partnership for New York City, an internationally known expert in housing, economic development, and urban policy. Is Kathy. The Partnership for New York City's mission is to work with government, labor, and the civic sector to build a stronger New York with a focus on education, infrastructure, and the economy. Their members employ 1.5 million New Yorkers and contribute nearly one-fifth of the state's gross product. Kathy Wild joins us today to talk about it and a daily news story about the city's Amazon headquarters bid. Welcome, Kathy Wild.
Thank you, Alan. Happy to join you.
Yes. Well, I have such respect for you, and I have seen you on the front page of the New York Times day after day talking about the state of New York. So let me start by asking you some small, silly questions like, how's Mayor Bill de Blasio doing?
Well, Mayor Bill de Blasio is being reelected next week, so I guess from his standpoint, he's doing pretty well.
And how is he for your group? I mean, after all, let's face it, many of the people in your group are well-heeled, the people who run the economic structure of the city. Do they like him?
I think that the business community generally has been happy and relieved that the city has continued to function well despite the terrorism attack we had this week. We have been safe. The city has been basically living within its means, again, thanks to revenues going up. So the relationship has worked out better than many feared. There was, of course, great anxiety in losing businessman Mike Bloomberg as mayor. That was a very comfortable relationship for the business community. This one is more difficult, but Mayor de Blasio has reached out, has tried to be responsive to concerns of the business community. So I don't think we've got a lot to complain about.
Now, as you know, Kathy Wild, there's a little bit of a spitting fight between the governor and the mayor in New York. What do you make of that?
Well, I thought there was an interesting article in the Times addressing that issue, that the mayor's persistent desire to put on yet another millionaire's tax when we already have one, I think perhaps the Times pointed out, probably created annoyance to the governor from the beginning of the administration, and that has continued. The high taxes, particularly right now, as we're looking at Congress possibly eliminating state and local income tax deductibility, are a real threat to New York's ability to attract the best talent and keep it.
So could we say that the governor was closer to the model of your members than the mayor?
I think the governor has a better understanding of the sensitivity of high earners and the mobility of high earners who represent 40% of the tax base of the state. The governor is very concerned that we not go over a tipping point where the taxes begin to drive people out. That has actually started to happen, particularly with the talk about the loss of state and local deductibility on income taxes. So there is a danger there. So as we're trying to attract headquarters operations, recently we got Hartford, Connecticut's Aetna to move their headquarters to New York City. And that's the kind of thing we want to see happen. We want more headquarters operations here. We want to continue to build our economy and create more jobs. And there's a point at which the governor understands very well. There's a point at which that's going to be impossible if we keep raising taxes on our most productive and talented citizens.
Now, I know, Kathy Wild, that your organization, the New York Partnership, supports New York City's Amazon headquarters bid. But you said you understand the concerns. What's that all about?
So the business community and our universities in New York City and state have really done a good job of promoting New York as a place that should be attractive to the tech community, both to the talented individuals and creating support for the entrepreneurial tech startup community. And technology companies are today the fastest growing part of our New York City economy. So it's very important to us, just as we've worked hard to attract Google, and we're now their second largest center of jobs. We're the second largest center for Facebook. We have a lot of activity. We don't have a big tech company headquarters here. So we are eager to attract Amazon. One of the difficulties is that Amazon and these big tech companies realize that they spend a lot of time and energy fighting with governments that aren't ready to adjust laws, regulations that came out of the 1950s, the pre-technology world, an earlier set of economic assumptions and interests. So we've seen what's happened with the fights with Uber and with Airbnb, with the big companies that come in. Now, the question is, will Amazon look favorably on a place where the New York State Legislature, the New York City Council, may be willing to sacrifice jobs and business investment to stop the displacement of an existing stakeholder, an existing industry? In the case of Airbnb, that's the hotels and real estate industry. In the case of Uber and Lyft, it has been the taxi and black car industries. And so the real question is, politically, while the business community is supporting this move as inevitable, even though businesses are being disrupted, they're generally supportive of the tech community in general, there are political interests, both business and labor, that want to stop it. And the politicians end up getting frozen. And that puts New York in a no man's land where we're really not going to move forward. We're not going to have the benefits of this explosive job growth in the tech community if we don't learn how to be more immediately responsive to these issues.
So immediately responsible to Airbnb. We know the hotels don't like it. They've come up with a whole bunch of things that they want in terms of paying more taxes and more fees. I know that you've spoken on Airbnb. What do you make of it?
Well, I think that there have been opportunities. One of the problems is that all these big companies and the small startups come in and kind of ignore the existing book of laws, like they're the new guys in town and we should all roll over and play dead. So that's been a problem in terms of their introduction. And companies, most of them come from the West Coast, from California. They tend to be a little arrogant, a lot arrogant. They don't do any better in Washington, D.C. than they do in New York when they come storming in. So I think that the big tech companies that have come in here have made a lot of mistakes. And some of the startups, they basically travel below the radar screen, but they've been surprised that they're expected to obey the law when they end up getting a cease order, an order to stop doing business. They act shocked, even though they've been breaking the law.
So in the case of Kathy, in the case of Airbnb, can you give us an example of that?
Well, they came in and basically ignored the law that was passed that made it illegal to rent out your apartment when you're not there. And they had set up situations where a large number of their apartments were building owners who emptied out their buildings of regular rental protected rent protected tenants in order to rent them at much higher numbers on a daily, monthly basis to Airbnb clients. That was not only against the law, but it tended to annoy housing advocates, other tenants in buildings, create situations that sometimes resulted in disruption of real estate. And so they got both the real estate industry and the hotel industry very angry at them. And because they were breaking laws that were on the books, it was easy to for the politicians to go after them, as opposed to coming in and having a forum. And in part, this is our fault because we don't provide an organized forum provide a forum where they can say, this is our business model, what are the issues with your laws and regulations, and how can we adjust to them?
So when you say we, you mean the city council and others, right? And the mayor.
State legislature, yeah. City council, mayor's office, governor's office, all these enforcement agencies. I'll give you an example where we are right now.
Sure.
Financial technology companies in London. London has set up what they call a digital sandbox, where they are testing as companies come in. They're providing a regulated test ground for companies to find out what they're doing, how they're protecting consumers if it's a lending situation, where are the conflicts, potential conflicts with laws and regulations, and then trying to negotiate out as they figure out what the application is, what the consumer response is, figuring out what's an appropriate way to amend laws and regulations that protects the citizenry, protects the community, but at the same time allows the technology, the next generation of technology-based companies to come in and flourish. We haven't done something like that in New York, and that's what we should be doing.
Okay, I'll be honest with you. I have now discovered Uber. It's terrific. I mean, it takes me from one place to another. I never have to put my hand in my pocket. It's very convenient, but there's an argument that the people who own the taxi medallions are suffering and that therefore they should be compensated for that, even though they've been making out like bandits for years when they were the only game in town. Where are you guys?
I think your point there is right. Now, our issue with Uber right now is really traffic congestion, because whether it's medallion taxis who could have gotten ahead of the game and gotten involved in applying technology, and there could be a yellow taxi app,
but
they missed that boat. And as with other industries, to the extent that this new generation of companies comes in and takes over the marketplace, that's what our country and our system is all about, is competition and let the best guy win. But at the same time, we have to look at what is the impact on the community in terms of, for example, traffic congestion in Manhattan, where there is a huge issue now that's costing employers and others a lot of money. So that's the way we're looking at these issues, is from the lens of what's best for the overall economy, not to protect an individual industry or an individual interest, but rather what's best for the overall economy. And I think that there's been an effort to do that with the taxi Uber Lyft discussions. I think that's ended up working out pretty well. But we still have issues that are there. And as I say, we don't have a way. This is a new industrial revolution that we're going through. And everything's going to change. The jobs are going to change. Workforce development is going to change. We're not ready for it. Another example, we have had companies in, as you know, many private companies are doing education of people for jobs in technology, in coding, in computer science. A lot of that is being done by private companies very efficiently. We don't have any capacity in the state education department to quickly and efficiently understand and approve or deny their licenses, yet they all need approval from what is sort of a traditional 1950s era approach to approvals and oversight of private education. We need to put new training, new people, expand. There's a staff shortage in the state education department, so it takes forever to get these approvals. We need to be able to respond to this change in demand on our government if we're going to keep pace with what's happening in the global economy.
So give us an example of an educational institution which you'd like to see licensed or approved that can't be because of shortages in the state ed department.
Well, I can give you an example of one that has been approved, but after a lot of third-party intervention, a company called Galvanize, which is bringing workforce training into the workspace. You know, there's a new workspace where young tech startups go in, and now there's an opportunity to actually provide training and retraining for people who need jobs in this growing industry, because there's a shortfall any day. New York City has 130,000 vacant job openings for people that have some tech training. And we're not filling them in an efficient way. There are companies rising up to do that, like Galvanize. It took more than a year for them to get their approvals, even though there weren't any substantive objections, just because of the lack of trained and available personnel to work on it.
Our guest is Kathy Wild, president and CEO of the Nonprofit Partnership for New York. Kathy, as we approach the lightning round, let me ask you a couple of fasties here. What is your organization thinking about the tax cut plan that is being advanced in Washington?
We're very concerned that it's going to damage New York. New York is a donor state. We send 48 billion more tax dollars to Washington than we get back in all the sources of support for Medicaid, education, et cetera. So we are a donor state. We are very concerned that a tax code which penalizes New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, California, because
most important, Massachusetts. Go ahead, where I live.
Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to leave out your state.
I'm just teasing. Yeah, go ahead.
but to penalize those states by double taxing, basically, income, not allowing deductibility, which has been on the books for like 100 years, is really a shame. And to use that to pay for the corporate tax reduction when there are other options is unfortunate.
Okay, let's go to the Constitutional Convention. You know, every 20 years, New Yorkers get a chance to vote on it, whether we should have a Constitutional Convention. There's a new Siena poll out. It is not faring well among the electorate, you know, basically 2-1 against having a Constitutional Convention. What do you think?
Well, I saw that poll, and I think that no one's really done a good job of making the case for why we should trust that the people elected as delegates to the Constitutional Convention will do any better than the state legislature does. They have opportunity; they can amend the Constitution, but they haven't done it in terms of whether it's cleaning up government or some of the other things that people would like to see, the reform of the judicial system. There are some good things that we'd all like to see. There's some changes we'd like to see in the Constitution, but why should we have any more faith that the delegates to the Constitution who will be elected through the same process will be any different than the legislature in taking on these challenges?
All good points. So do you believe, for example, that we ought to have term limits on legislators like they do in New York City?
Well, term limits in New York City have turned out to be more of a problem than a solution, at least in terms of the city, as far as the city council is concerned. So I would have real reservations about it. I was a supporter of term limits, but I think we made them too short so that people are running for their next job virtually as soon as they find out where the bathroom is in City Hall. And it makes it difficult to have people commit to more than today's political opportunity to make short-term political decisions that are basically not in the long-term, considering the long-term interests of the city. So I don't think that the 8 years, 2 4-year terms that we have in the city council have worked out. I guess I could be talked into 12 years, and I think that considering that in the legislature, given that it's just about impossible to beat an incumbent legislator, that would provide maybe some healthy turnover. But it also has some disadvantages, as I say, short-term thinking.
Kathy Wild, your organization has a lot of people who have a lot of money in it, not all, but many. So my question to you is charter schools. We know that people who are well-heeled often support charter schools. I'm wondering where you come down.
Well, we support public education, and charter schools are a component of public education in New York City now for a number of years, and the partnership has always supported them as a component of a strong public education system. So I don't have sympathy for your four charters or your four public schools. I really think that we have to embrace and be investing in the public education system, and I think that charters are and can make a contribution to that. They were supposed to be centers of innovation for ideas that could be applied to the general public schools. It's devolved into primarily a battle between union, non-union, and I really think it's unfortunate because it seems unnecessary. I think that we can all support we can all support the public education system. We can all support teachers and the teachers unions that are supporting their members. We can also have room for charter schools to be part of that solution.
Okay, so I want to go back to something that you said in the beginning about, you know, how crowded, for example, Manhattan is. I wondered, how many people can fit on Manhattan? If you get, you know, one of these big companies and they bring 20,000 people in, is there a limit on how many people should be standing on that island before it sinks?
Well, fortunately, the biggest job growth actually in the city is now taking place, the percentage growth is taking place in Brooklyn and increasingly Queens. And even the Bronx is showing a real uptick under the leadership of Ruben Diaz Jr. is showing a real uptick in jobs. So we are seeing our economy diversify geographically across the boroughs and really throughout the region. So I think that that is making it easier to absorb. In terms of Manhattan, traffic congestion problem, as I mentioned, is a huge issue, and we have to figure out how to deal with that. A lot of that involves a better public transportation system, which is certainly a top priority of the governor right now. And for the last year, he's been working on trying to make sure that we have a subway system that is reliable and working. And I think there's great new leadership at the subway system that's getting a lot done in that regard. So hopefully we can absorb more activity in New York, but less traffic.
Well, New York, of course, is well known for its affiliation with Puerto Rico. I was raised by a mom who was passionate about that subject. The first time I met you was in Puerto Rico. So I want to know whether we're doing enough and whether the governor, who's reaching out to the Puerto Rican community and doing everything he can to send people there. What are you thinking of that? We only have a minute and a half.
Governor Cuomo is doing a terrific job in terms of the first response to the crisis in Puerto Rico after the storm and using our experience in New York State after Sandy and after 9/11 to help the government of Puerto Rico and many of the nonprofit community groups in Puerto Rico that we're supporting to help them respond to this crisis. It is a slow process. We've never had this kind of crisis on a U.S. island before, and so I think that's made it particularly difficult. But I think the contributions of New York State have been outstanding.
We're out of time, and I'm so sorry to say that, Kathy Well, because you have been a terrific guest. You don't hesitate to say what you and your organization think, and it's very important to us. So Kathy Wild is the president and CEO of the Nonprofit Partnership for New York City. Kathy, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your participation.
Alan, thank you for having me. It was a delightful experience to be with you.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.